You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. This is Steve King, and we're here today with a guest who has had a tremendous impact on some broad policy issues in the United States. We had the great privilege today to be with Robert Rector, the Senior Research Fellow for the Heritage Foundation. Robert, you played a large role in the 1996 Welfare Reform Act, and I also want to give you credit for the work that you did on the immigration reform from last year, when you did the definitive study on the Senate's version that they called the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill, and the numbers that you gave us and the analysis that you gave us were debated and discussed across through the Senate, through the House, across this countryside. They held up well, even though there were some people that didn't agree with you. Thanks a lot for being with us, and welcome, Robert Rector.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here, and to start this off, to take us to the contemporary. We are sitting here now anticipating that there will be a Senate version of an immigration reform bill that will come out of there sometime perhaps in the next month or so. And you have sat down and done some analysis on the economics and the impact of what would happen if we were to bring in, import, or legalize additional people. And earlier your study was, and I think I should ask you to talk about that first, what's the impact of a household that's headed by a high school dropout in America today?
Well, the first thing to understand is that it doesn't particularly matter where the high school dropout comes from, whether they're born in inner city Detroit or they come from Kentucky, or whether we import them from Mexico and Guatemala. The simple fact is that a low-skill worker of that sort imposes a very substantial lifetime tax burden on other Americans. Typically, a household headed by an individual who does not have a high school degree receives each year about setting aside defense and interest costs, that individual or household receives about $32,000 a year in government benefits and services. On the other hand, the household pays something over $9,000 a year in federal, state, and local taxes. So there's a $22,000 gap of benefits and services that that household takes up that someone else has to pay for. That's a very, very large gap. It's the equivalent of buying each of these households a Mustang convertible each and every year of their lives. The terrible tragedy is that our immigration system, both legal and illegal, is now focused on bringing in exactly this type of individual. We have, in the last 20 years or so, imported some 10 or 11 million high school dropouts, primarily from Central America, and we about a third of all immigrant households are now headed by someone who doesn't have a high school degree. If we were to say to anyone, oh my goodness, we just had an increase of 10 million high school dropouts born inside the United States, everyone would say, wow, that sounds like a disaster. But somehow when we're importing these individuals from abroad, they're supposed to be creating some kind of economic miracle that benefits us all. In reality, what they're doing is imposing a simply astronomical tax burden on everyone else in the United States.
Robert Rector, and we're here with Robert Rector. This is Conversations with Congressman King, and thanks for being with us today as we discuss this important issue of immigration. And you rolled that there's not a difference between an American citizen, a naturally born, naturalized, green card holder, or illegal when it comes to hitting a household and falling deficient on the number of benefits consumed versus the amount of taxes paid. Have you done the broader numbers on this? How many, again, I'll just ask you to put it all in one if you can, how many households headed by high school dropouts do we have today in America? And how many I know it's a broad guess on how many we might anticipate importing over the next 20 years?
Well, right at the moment, there are about 15%, about 17 million households in the U.S. are headed by people that do not have a high school degree. The total cost of those households to the taxpayer each year, benefits minus taxes paid in, is about $400 billion a year. About a quarter of those households are immigrant households. So the total cost of immigrant dropout households is around $100 billion a year. Each of those households is taking up about $3 in government benefits for every dollar that they're paying in taxes. And the situation doesn't get any better. They are in deficit virtually every stage of their life once they enter the country. The simplest way to think about this is that each immigrant who comes across the border without a high school degree, whether legally or illegally, is going to cost the taxpayers about $1 million over his lifetime if he remains in the U.S. Rather than going home. And when we look at the legislation in both the House and Senate, all of these bills call remarkably for bringing in more of this exact type of individual. There's a Flake-Gutierrez bill that was just introduced in the House that would bring in 4 million low-skill immigrant workers. It calls them temporary workers, but they're in fact here permanently with rights to welfare, citizenship, right to vote in our elections. Those 4 million individuals would cost the taxpayers of the United States over $500 billion in the decade ahead. It's simply an avenue to a fiscal disaster in the U.S. We're already moving toward bankruptcy with the Social Security crisis. This situation, these bills would just simply make the matter dramatically worse.
And yet we had an immigration hearing of in Ellis Island about 2 weeks ago or so. And I wish we'd been able to have you as a witness up there to testify, but I'd point out, and I will offer that opportunity at the first chance we get, Robert, I'd point out that they had a demographer there who came in as an expert to testify that we needed to bring in millions of new immigrants in order to fund the Social Security, the baby boomers, that there are 30 to 40 million retiring baby boomers in the next few years. It seemed to me that his proposal was just simply a matter of numbers, and he hadn't done the calculation on what was the economic contribution that was related to perhaps the educational background or professional background.
Obviously, in order to positively affect the Social Security crisis, the first thing you have to do is be bringing in workers who pay more in taxes than they take out in benefits, and that means you basically need to be bringing in college-educated workers. You certainly don't want to be bringing in a lot of people with fourth-grade education. I've been in politics for 25 years. That is, in fact, probably the stupidest idea I have heard in that 25-year period, that the way that we're going to solve the Social Security crisis is to bring in people from Guatemala who have a sixth grade education. In reality, if those people come here and are permanent residents, they don't even pay any Social Security taxes because it's netted out by something called the Earned Income Tax Credit, which simply refunds all of their Social Security back to them. But even assuming that they did pay into the Social Security system, they'd be paying in on the order of perhaps $3,000 a year. Meanwhile, they're taking out $33,000 in government benefits from general revenue. So they're putting just a tiny trickle into the Social Security system while they're drawing down a flood of benefits from all other government programs. So the question is, who has to pay for all of those extra government benefits that they're not paying for? And the answer is all the other taxpayers, including the baby boomers who would be trying to retire. Baby boomers with this type of proposal would have to face significant, dramatic tax increases in order to pay for the cost of benefits and services of this type of household. One way of looking at this would be to just ask the question, what would you need to do to government policy to make these high school dropouts fiscally solvent, that is, where their taxes would equal the benefits that they receive? In order to do that, you would have to abolish Social Security, abolish Medicare, and abolish all 70 federal means-tested welfare programs. At that point, even then, these households are not positive contributors. They don't pay into the tax system, but at least they would be neutral. But of course, those changes will never occur. And what that means is that inevitably, these households, every time you bring an individual of this sort in, he's going to impose a negative cost on the U.S. taxpayers of around $1 million over his lifetime.
And to being the devil's advocate, and you're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and we're here with Robert Rector, who is a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation and has done an exhaustive research on the contributions or lack of contributions of undereducated households in America. But, Robert, in that hearing enough at Ellis Island, I can tell you what they would say. They said, 100 years ago, we brought through millions of people who were uneducated and illiterate and didn't speak the language, and maybe they were even unskilled, and they have been a positive influence on America. How can we make the argument today that anyone we'd bring in would not be?
Well, first of all, that's false. Historically, back during that period and as far back as we have records on immigration, the average immigrant coming into the United States was slightly better educated than native-born citizens. These individuals don't appear that way to us historically, largely because we don't remember what the education level was of non-immigrants back around 1900. And secondly, back when we had that mass migration through Ellis Island, my goodness, we didn't even have a federal income tax, let alone a federal system of redistribution that takes about $2 trillion each year and taxes it out of the upper middle class and distributes it to the bottom one-half of the population. That is the major function of government today. That didn't exist at all. There was nothing even remotely like it. If, in fact, at any point you have a massive redistribution system like that, when you bring in a flow of immigrants that are predominantly low-skill, they will impose a huge cost on the U.S. taxpayer. When we had previous mass waves of immigration, we didn't have this tax and spend system that we have today.
In looking at that Senate bill from last year, and I know that they changed some of the language, amended it a little bit, but one of the numbers over the next 20 years that was the result of your study, including those who would be legally coming in under current law, and then the law that was proposed, the bill that was proposed by the Senate, that number, I believe, was 66 million over the next 20 years.
Something like that, and that was after they amended the bill to reduce the numbers. These bills, mainly when you look at them, they basically triple legal immigration coming into the U.S. There's virtually no one in the United States who actually wants that. All of this, and then they focus on bringing in the least competent immigrants that they can go find.
It's
what they're really doing is kind of like saying, we don't have enough people on welfare here in the U.S. today. We need to go and do an international welfare outreach and bring in millions of additional welfare recipients who can be a burden on the U.S. taxpayer. It's a simply crazy idea.
And that 66 million number happens to also be the sum total of all Americans who have been naturalized into the United States in that time of our history from 1820, when we began keeping records, until the census of the year 2000. And I remember when they brought in 1 million in 96, fast-tracked to citizenship under Clinton, and also gave amnesty to 1 million in 86 under Reagan, that became more like 3 million. But 1 million was a lot of people to grant an amnesty to, and now we're looking at an amnesty at 66 million, plus or minus, pick your number. It depends on what the final bill is. But that many, and what percentage would you say would be welfare recipients?
Well, All of these bills, if you look at the 12 million or so individuals that would be granted amnesty, probably 60% of them do not have a high school degree. And then each of the bills has a major focus on bringing in a very large inflow of low-skill workers in the future with their families, all of whom will basically take up welfare. There's a kind of mistake to think that, well, they're working so they don't take up welfare. In fact, the welfare system today is designed to support low-skill working families. It's designed to support exactly this type of family, and this typical low-skill immigrant is going to be receiving about $11 million in welfare benefits every year of his life.
You know, if that's what we're queued up to get, we're going to get what we pay for. We just will not be able to pay for what we get with the tens of millions of welfare recipients that are bound to come. You've been listening to Conversations with Congressman King. We've been here with Robert Rector, a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation and the definitive voice on the impact of immigration law in the United States of America. Thanks so much, Robert.
Thank you.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.